It's Easter Sunday, and although somebody would tell me you shouldn't call it Easter, yes, the name Easter is from paganism. It's Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is celebration of Jesus' resurrection. But we give one holiday a year, and it's a long story, but we won't go into it. And I'm always scrambling, how do I present something to you that's different in a sermon on Jesus' resurrection? I don't like to be the same old, and follow the same preaching crowd, go to the same things. And something came to me yesterday, and I want to show you something. And we're going to go rapidly at first, but the title of what we're going to do this morning, and I very rarely give a title to my sermons, but it just fell into place for me to do it. Matter of fact, most of you can't even figure out where I'm preaching from because I forgot to tell you what passage I'm at. I want to call this How the Resurrection Leads to a Road of Forgiveness. But it's not in the way you think. How the Resurrection Leads to the Road of Forgiveness for Peter. Turn to Matthew 10. We're going to move quickly now at first. Matthew 10. Jesus in Matthew 10 sends out the disciples. Can you name the 12 disciples? Well, in VBS, at one time, we all learned it, but it doesn't matter. Jesus had a core of three inner disciples who were closest to him. In Matthew 10, he commissions all 12, especially the three, and the most prominent one is Peter. And Jesus issued a warning to his newly chosen disciples in Matthew 10, and this is the most severe warning for any follower of Jesus. You ready? This is the most severe warning for any professing follower of Jesus. Jesus said this, verse 32 of chapter 10. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before the Father who is in heaven. But whomever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Debbie Beltran was looking at me like, nope, did I say 12? No, you heard 10. So listen to me, the worst thing that a professing believer of Christ can do, the worst sin, is to deny him. Yes? That's what Jesus said. The consequence is, Jesus will deny you before the Father on the day in which we stand before it. Get that. Severe warning. And so he sends them out. Now go to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 31. I should have you all repeat Matthew 26, verse 31. When Jesus issues a warning, don't deny me or I'll deny you, you can bet there's going to be a test. Just like a teacher, when he lectures, has to give quizzes and tests. It's 3 years later. It's Jesus' Last Supper, which happened last Friday evening, which was Passover. Jesus then tells them something, all 12 of which Peter is right there. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written in Scripture, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But afterward, I'll meet you raised in Galilee." But Peter answered and said to him, probably remembering Jesus' warning, "I'll deny you before men if you deny me. Lord, even if all fall away, I will never fall away. Be careful not to boast, because we all have human weakness. Be merciful to others, Because we all have human weakness. Peter gets the prominence here. Why? Turn to 26:69. Several verses later. Lord, I won't deny you. Jesus warning, if you deny me, it is the worst sin. Now we go to 69. Now Peter was outside in the courtyard having followed Jesus to his trial. And a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus in Galilee. How did this servant girl know? Well, Jews who were from Galilee had a certain kind of accent. Jews from the south had another kind of accent. There was a northern accent, New Jersey. And then there was a southern accent in Judea. How y'all doing? And Peter sounded like New Jersey. That's true. She then knew that he had been one of his disciples. But he denied it. What did Jesus warn? He who denies me what? This is the gravest sin you can commit as a believer, to deny Jesus. There is no worse, not even gambling in Vegas. I do not know what you're talking about. And when he had gone out to the gateway, in other words, to get out of there because she was drawing too much attention to him, another servant said to him, hey, weren't you with Jesus? Isn't this guy with Jesus the Nazarene? And he denied it with an oath. It said also in another place, he cursed and he swore. I swear to you, I don't know this guy. Lord, though all deny you, I will never deny you. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny before the Father. He cursed and he swore and he sold Jesus out. And a little later, bystanders came up to him. Surely you too. By this time, they probably had beaten Jesus to a pulp. You ever seen Mel Gibson's The Passion? How John Cassavetes in makeup looked, how horrible, distension, everything. If you saw that and then somebody said, aren't you this guy's follower? I feel sorry for Peter. Then he began to curse and swear. What the hell are you talking about? I never knew this guy. Hell's a good word. Preachers can get away with those kind of things in the pulpit. I do not know the man. But Jesus had warned him, when you deny me, right after you denied me for the third time, a rooster is going to crow to bring that back to your remembrance. And that means it was getting to be dawn. And all of a sudden, right after he cursed and swore and said, I don't know him, the sound of a rooster crow brought back that remembrance to Peter. Imagine being with Jesus for 3 years. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny you. Lord, I'll never deny you. He was the most public person that said, Lord, I'm going to be with you when these other 12 bozos won't be. The burden of the greatest sin that a follower of Jesus could commit was denial of Jesus. And it says, Peter went out and he wept. But the word added is bitterly. He had failed, and he had failed in the biggest way that you can fail as a Christian. But I want to show you something, that the road to forgiveness for Peter. I want you to go to John chapter 21. Jesus said to them, when I am raised, come to Galilee. So the disciples, after the resurrection, head off to Galilee. And when they get to Galilee, they're fishing. And after fishing, Jesus appears to them suddenly and he made them breakfast. Best fishing in Galilee is at night. I often wonder if Jesus whistled and those fish came up into the frying pan. I don't know. And Jesus served them breakfast. Would you serve these people who had denied you? And would you serve Peter, who had made a public outcry, cursing and swearing, committing the worst sin that a Christian could commit, publicly denying Jesus? I'm glad that we're not God. For look what happens. It says here that Jesus took a beeline to Peter. And a wonderful conversation goes on that I want to explain to you that you may not see from the English. But it's in the original Greek that when it gets translated doesn't come out. He goes to the guy that committed the worst sin and probably had a terrible burden in his mind for that denial. Simon, do you love me? And Jesus uses a word for love. Are you sold out and surrendered to me, love? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you, but it's love that is imperfect and not the way it should be. So here is what Jesus is saying. He takes a beeline for Peter, comes up close to him, knowing full well that Peter suffers with guilt. And he says, Peter, do you love me with love that is sold out and surrendered to me? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you, but it's clear my love for you failed. Because he uses another word for love that indicates an imperfect love. Have you ever been worried about your love for Jesus and it needs to be better? So Jesus was a nudge. That's where I get my teaching from. He was a nudge. I like it. He says to him the second time. Oh, wait. Then he says to him, after, Lord, I don't love you as much, he says, feed my sheep. Now, wait a second. Peter had made the worst sin in the world. And yet Jesus says, feed my sheep. I'm going to forgive you, Peter. Feed my people while I'm gone. The second time, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? That word love there in 16 is, are you sold out and surrendered love? You love me more than anything. Peter said to him again, yes, Lord, you know I love, but I don't love you. This is the imperfect kind of love. You say that, Peter, because you know. You feel guilty, don't you? Jesus then again said to him, Peter, feed, shepherd, my flock. By the way, Jesus didn't say you're through, you're finished, you're out of ministry. You committed the most fatal sin for a believer. Jesus said, Peter, I need you to watch my flock while I'm gone. But is Jesus finished? No. Verse 17. Jesus again said to Peter the third time. I know you guys get tired of me always repeating my sermons. The call of the church, the conduct of the church. The church is not an organism, but Jesus was a nudge, and I learned from a teacher that knows how to teach, because people don't remember anything the first time. So Jesus says to him the third nudge. Peter, then he says, do you love me? But then it's the word for love that Peter's been using. So you love me with an imperfect love that falls short. Jesus is nudging him because he knows Peter's heart. That Peter felt horrible for what he did and felt he was a second class that deserved nothing of God's forgiveness Peter was grieved. Now you know why Peter was grieved. Not because Jesus was a nudge, but because Jesus now uses Peter's own words against him. So you love me, but it's not quite the love that you should have. And he's grieved because he knows Jesus is tracking with his guilty conscience. And then Jesus says to him, "Feed my sheep." But the word in 16, now, in 17, Jesus still calls on him to tend his sheep. And then he says this, "Peter, I'm going to give you another chance to glorify me. I know you failed. I know that you have a tremendous burden of guilt because of what happened." And Jesus tells him this, "Truly, truly, I say to you." And when Jesus says truly, truly, you better listen. It means listen up carefully. "When you were younger, you used to clothe yourself." Gird means you used to put on your own clothes and it was your own decision. "And walk wherever you want it. But when you are an old man," Peter would be in his early 70s when this would happen, "you're going to stretch out your hands." And someone's going to bind you. What do you call that? Officer Terry. When you ask, put your wrists out, you do what? You're apprehended. So Jesus said, "Peter, you're going to glorify me. I allow, God knows your weakness. When you're young, you'll go all over the world preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, everywhere. But one day, someone's going to take you, the Roman government, handcuff you, and lead you off," Jesus said, "and bring you where you don't want to go." Now, Jesus said this, verse 19, because he was signifying what kind of death Peter would glorify God. So here's what happened to Peter. Horrible guilty conscience, public denial of the Lord in the worst way it could be, worst sin for a believer. Jesus took a beeline to him in love and gave him another chance. And here's what happened to Peter. Nero, who was a nut, started burning Christians alive, beheading them, putting them in animal skins, dipping the animal skins in pitch tar, burning them alive, or putting them in animal skins and have wolves tear them apart for his parties because he hated Christians. He was a nut. So they sent for Peter. They arrested him. They said, "You're that follower of Jesus, aren't you?" And according to the church fathers, he said, "Yes, I am." What did he do the first time? Deny. They said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do, Peter. You either deny that guy, Joshua, or we're going to crucify you like we did him 30 years ago." Peter said this, "Well, if you're going to do that, it would be wrong to crucify me with my head up because I am not worthy to die for my Savior, professing him." And he actually requested in his execution that they crucify him upside down because his death should not be in any way equal to what his Savior did. That's the road to redemption. That shows you the forgiveness of Jesus and that he is someone who because of His resurrection and His glorification. Always will give a second chance. Full forgiveness for the most heinous of things. Peter, do you love me? No, Lord, I failed. Feed my sheep, Peter. Anyone can fail. Peter, do you love me? No, Lord, I failed you. Feed my sheep, and I'll give you another chance. That's what we learn from resurrection. The greatest thing that we can be as Christians is loving and forgiving like Jesus was.